We look at Luke chapter 1, just a couple of verses there. Luke chapter 1, 16 and 17. And if you would locate that, we're going to read it together. Just a couple of short verses. Thank the Lord. Well, our house is empty and quiet. We had 15 there at one time, but now it's just back to the two of us. And then we look forward to camp meeting when it's going to happen again. And oh my, doesn't that make us long for the time that we're going to gather over there? Never to separate, never to leave, but always to be in the presence of God and with one another. Amen. Seeing those who have gone before, being with those that we helped come to know the truth, and then meeting so many millions and billions from around the world who have been filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. Knowing the power and the blessing of the Lord in its reality. Thank God we can know His goodness. All right, Luke chapter 1. Let's read together, please. 16 and 17. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And the thought I want to share with you in particular is from the latter portion of verse 17, a people prepared. Say that with me. A people prepared. Amen. You may be seated. Just last week, we had our celebration and the culmination of so much preparation. The building being painted up and down and out, new carpet and vinyl, the platform with its railings and pulpit, the Sunday school rooms painted, the floor polished, the lawn taken care of. No wonder we're feeling tired. So much work that went into it. Amen. All the cards and the stickers that you passed out celebrating the 50th, the postcards that were mailed out and handed out, all of the travel that we did back and forth picking up our loved ones and speakers and so on, the decorations, the food, and what a celebration. Praise God. But all done because there was a people who determined we're going to be prepared. We're going to be ready. Amen. And even when the lights went out on Thursday night, the candles were there, I get tickled when I think about Brother Blackshear saying, this is the first time that I've been to a candlelight dinner that also had iPhone light. The combination of new and old. Amen. But the preparation is so important. And we thank God for the preparation that went into that celebration. And as I remind you, we're still celebrating. It's not something we're going to put in the past. Thank God we can celebrate the Lord all the time. And celebrate birthdays. John just had a birthday yesterday. My word. Should have had him testify. We can still have him testify. Stand up. Testify.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. Preparation that has got to be in place. Something like a birthday, an anniversary, a graduation, a wedding, all of these things. A hunting trip. Oh my. All of these things that have got to have extensive preparation. It's not just something that you decide, oh, hey, let's go do this. And sometimes we may decide that way. And it's just not quite as fulfilling or as great as we could perhaps have made it with greater preparation. Now, John the Baptist is the one who these verses are written about. He is going to be the one to turn people to the Lord. He's going to come in the spirit and power of Isaiah the prophet, Elijah the prophet, and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedient to the wisdom, and so on. And he's going to see that there is a people prepared for the Lord. I'm thankful that John the Baptist was a voice crying in the wilderness. He denied that he was the Messiah, and rightly so, because he identified the Lord as the one who is going to be the Lamb of God, taking away the sins of the world. He said, I'm not even worthy to bend over and tie his laces on his sandals. I'm not even worthy to do that. He is far mightier than I. And he gave an indication of the work that the Messiah would accomplish. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Thank God for the power of the Lord. And many verses of scripture that we could refer to that would indicate how that he came to prepare the way. Isaiah 40 and 13 makes reference of the work that John the Baptist, as we call him, was going to perform. He would prepare the way of the Lord. Malachi 3 and 1, he would prepare the way again, the scripture says, and suddenly he would be in, would appear. Suddenly he would be there. And so the necessity of being ready. And what a strong message of repentance that he preached. No apologies, no soft sell, no indication of how it would be a good idea if you do this. He just thundered forth with a great message of repentance, a change that needed to come into people's lives, a surrender that needed to be enacted, a foundation for revival. And he was so straightforward with his message, you perhaps could encapsulate it with this phrase, turn or burn. And that was how he brought it forth. And I pray, oh God, help us to understand that is the necessity today. Not just to feel good, not just to say, woo, I've been in church and I clapped my hands and I felt goosebumps. No, there's got to be an understanding. I've got to turn to the Lord. I've got to turn away from things of this world. I've got to turn to him and his righteousness and the power that he wants to make available. Praise God. Jonah is an example of an individual who needed to understand that you can't just nod your head in agreement to the Lord. You can't just give lip service to what God is telling you to do and then just go on your merry way. It doesn't work that way. It didn't work that way for Jonah. He was commanded of the Lord to go and preach in a place called Nineveh. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. He wanted to go another direction. Anywhere but Nineveh. I don't want to go to Nineveh because I know how merciful you are, God. And I don't want mercy to come to Nineveh. I want judgment to come on Nineveh. I want destruction to come to Nineveh. The way they've treated us Hebrews, the way they've treated us Jews, they deserve to be destroyed. I'm not going to go and preach to them. So he determined he was going to run from the presence of the Lord. And so it's an indication of the wrong direction when he turned from the presence of the Lord, because he went down to Joppa. He went down into the ship. He told them that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord. And he went down into the sea, down into the fish. It's the wrong direction when you're trying to get away from God. When you're trying to flee from his presence and move away from the conviction and the love that is reaching out to you, it'll not end well because the Lord prepared. It's significant that the Bible says the Lord prepared a great fish. And when he was vomited it out upon the beach, and what a sight he must have been. What a sight. For him to come marching into Nineveh now, his clothes are stained with seaweed and it's just not a pleasant smell and all of this kind of stuff, because he took a detour that was not God's will. But thank God he ended up going the right direction. And the word of the Lord came to him with the same command, go to Nineveh, preach to it that there's going to be judgment. Well, he did that. And they repented. Praise God. Thank the Lord that repentance can be an experience of anybody and everybody. That's what God's plan is. The Bible tells us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Everybody can be included in that experience. Everybody can determine in their heart and in their mind, I'm going to turn from the things that don't please God. I'm going to turn to the things that do bring his pleasure and his blessing in my life. Praise God. The Lord prepared that great fish. The Lord also prepared a plant, a gourd, to provide shade for Nineveh, or for Jonah, rather, as he sat up on the hillside looking down at Nineveh and waiting for the judgment of God. He still was not happy about their repentance. He still was not happy about their change of heart and change of life. From the king on down to the smallest child, the change came throughout that city. An amazing, amazing turn of events and change in their lives. And Jonah is still mad. Jonah is still upset. Jonah still wishes that there was destruction instead of the divine hand of God and mercy upon them. So he's sitting up there under that plant that God provided for him from the sun beating down upon him. And then God prepared a worm, a little pest, to come and eat at the core of that stalk. And then the gourd began to shrivel. And the heat of the sun began to beat upon Jonah as again he stood and sat upon that hillside. Also, the Lord prepared a great wind. And it came and blew against Jonah to bring more discomfort and more displeasure to his experience. What Jonah needed to do was prepare his heart. Sometimes things come our way for God saying, I need you to turn this way. I want you to come to me. You're going the wrong direction. You're going to experience hardship. You're going to hurt yourself. How often, just like a child that's got to learn, you know, that's hot, don't touch it. Or that's going to hurt you, don't go there. But a child so often has got to learn by their own experience and the parental guidance that tries to keep them from experiencing things that are going to harm themselves. God was speaking to Jonah. God was reaching out to him. And Jonah just needed to prepare his heart. Oh, I want God to prepare good things for me. Amen. I want God to prepare powerful things, blessed things. Amen. And the power of his presence as we walk with him. Thank God that the preparation that goes into our experience in the Lord is something good. Now, just think about this for a moment. What does prepare mean? Prepare means to make ready or suitable or equip in advance for a particular purpose or for some use or event. Okay, so we're getting ready. A suitable or to be ready, to equip in advance, a particular purpose is in mind, or a particular use or event. We prepared for the 50th anniversary, and what a great time. What a great event. How things all work together so well because we were prepared. Amen. Even the lights go out. We're still prepared. Everything's going along just fine. We get ready. Amen. Get ready for a wedding. Get ready for a trip. Get ready for a project. Get ready for a meal. Amen. Sharon didn't just say, oh, okay, there's about 55 of them coming to a buffet. I better throw some things together. I better put on a pot of rice and I better, you know, just get a few things ready here. No, she worked hard. She took a lot of time. She organized her staff. Everybody was ready. Everything was all set. We walked through and a large group of people were served in just a few minutes. And oh, what a great time we enjoyed. Because there was somebody who prepared. Somebody who made ready. Thank God Jesus declared, I go to prepare a place for you. Hallelujah. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, oh, I love that I am, where I am, there you may be also. Thank God that we can know his power and his blessing to minister to us so that we can go to that place he has prepared. Amen. Hallelujah. John is the one who recorded that in John chapter 14, that promise from the Lord. And no doubt, when he saw it in Revelation, when he recorded it in those 22 chapters that we call the book of Revelation, when he described it, he was remembering, this is what he said he's going to prepare. This is the place. This is where we're going. This is what he's doing. Hallelujah. And then he would record, and I'm not sure about the word picture. I'm not sure why he described it that way. But in Revelation 21, he said, I saw the New Jerusalem coming down from heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. Why did he describe it that way? Because a bride coming down the aisle, a bride making her approach, a bride coming to the man she is going to spend the rest of her life with, the husband that she is called by his name. Amen. She is pure and perfect. And so John said, I saw that city coming. I saw that place that's been prepared. It's pure. It's perfect. There's no sin that's going to enter there. There's nothing that's going to defile. It's going to be lighted by him. It's going to be prepared by him. Thank God. That's the place that we're going. That's where we desire to be. Now, stop and consider, however. The verse of scripture that we started with did not talk about the place that he's prepared. It made reference to John saying, I'm going to prepare, I'm going to make ready, I'm going to come forth. It made reference to how there was going to be that attention drawn to the one who is coming. But it didn't say anything about preparing heaven. It didn't say anything about preparing a wedding feast. All of those things we know are part of the preparation. What was pointed out was the people being prepared. Because all of that other is not going to matter unless there's a people who are ready and prepared to step in to the place that God wants them to be. Jesus made reference to being ready many, many times. He gave the instance of a thief coming. If you knew when a thief was coming, you knew when he was going to make the approach on your property, you knew when he was going to come and try to open the window or find the door that is unlocked, you would be ready. You would have lights ready to go. You would be ready to call the police if necessary. You would be ready. The Lord said, be ready. Amen. Be ready because he's going to come in a time that you don't know. You don't think. You're not aware. So the time to be ready is now. Be you also ready, he said. Amen. Thank God that there can come that necessity where we understand, I've got to be ready. In fact, the Greek definition of the word prepared that we looked at in Luke 1:17, the Greek definition means a creator. Means a creator making. And thank God, he's the one who can make us brand new. He's the one who can make us brand new in all of our experiences in him. The one who said, let there be light. can cause light to shine into our hearts in the face of Jesus Christ as we recognize He is the Almighty God. He is the one to come and make a difference in our lives. He is the one to bring change that will be positive and powerful and in a preparation for the blessings that He desires to bring forth upon us. Another parable that Jesus told in Matthew 22 was about a wedding. A man made a wedding feast for his son. He said, everything's ready. The wedding is all prepared. Everything's ready. Go and invite the guests. The guests were invited. They began to make excuses. They began to say, well, I've got to do this. I've got to go meet them. I've got to prepare this. I've got to... Then he said, go and tell them it's ready. And if they don't want to listen, if they don't want to hear, go to somebody else. Go out into the highways. Go out into the byways. Invite them to come in that the wedding feast will be filled. Amen. Much preparation in a natural wedding. Much preparation in a spiritual wedding. Much preparation for a celestial wedding where we're going to be with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now notice the scripture of Luke 1:16, to turn to the Lord. This is the preparation of the people that is so important. To turn to the Lord. Turn their hearts to Him. Turn from disobedience to wisdom. Disobedience that says, oh, I don't need to obey the commandment. Oh, I don't need to follow through on that. I don't need to obey it. How many parents would tell their sons, my mom telling me, go out to the wood pile. Chop that wood, make that kindling, bring it in, and stack it alongside the stove. And then I just say, oh, I think I'll go to the ball game. I think I'll go to my friend Harvey's and we'll play some Crazy Eight. I think I'll go read a book. The wood didn't get chopped. The kindling didn't get stacked. The wood wasn't prepared alongside the wood heater. Would there be grace? Would there be mercy? Would there be dispensation of time to which I had opportunity to amend my ways? No. And everybody who is a parent in here knows that. Every mom, every dad knows you've got to follow through with the instructions that you've given to the children. How come we feel then that I can be disobedient? How come I feel I don't have to listen to what the Word says? I can avoid the wisdom that's there. I can just follow through on my own wisdom. I'm wise. I've got it figured out. I've been here a few years, and I know how to get it done. No, I've got to turn from disobedience to wisdom. Amen. And follow what God is telling me to do, to make that turn, to be ready. Praise God. Paul talked about it to King Agrippa in Acts 26. He said, God has called me to reach out to people, to turn them from darkness to light. He's not just talking about night to morning. He's talking about spiritual darkness that would keep people bound, that would stop them from seeing the promises of God, that would hold them back from stepping into the realities of all of God's blessing, that would mock the idea of surrender. You don't need to surrender. You don't need to consecrate. You don't need to yield. You can go your own direction. You're educated. You're rich. You're influential. You have what you need. You're okay. But no, I'm going to turn from darkness because there's light that is marvelous. There's light that is powerful. There's light that is eternal. And that's where I want to be because He's prepared that place for me. Amen. Paul said, moreover, that they would turn from the power of Satan to God. Satan have power? Oh, he doesn't have power in the face of the blood of Jesus. He doesn't have power against the name of Jesus. He doesn't have power over the Spirit of God. No, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. But I've got to have His Spirit in me. I can't just rely on myself. I can't just rely on my own goodness. I can't just rely on my own ability, my own ingenuity, my own intellect. I've got to have His power. Amen. Praise God. So I turn from the power of Satan and I turn to God. Acts 26 and 18, he said, to receive forgiveness of sins, to have the inheritance, and to be sanctified by faith. Thank God for receiving the forgiveness of sins and the inheritance, because we're sons and daughters by being born again. And sanctified by faith means a change that faith brings in my life. Glory to God. Oh, I'm so thankful that we can receive. Now, football games are going on right now all around the nation. The commentators are, you know, it's interesting, these commentators, they talk about what's going to happen on game day. They say, this is this receiver, this quarterback, this running back, this defense, they're all going to do this and that and so on. And then after the game, they talk about why it didn't turn out the way they predicted. They did this, they did that, and they just talk. But there are those out on the field. There are those out there playing the game. And can you imagine a receiver who runs his route and he dodges this way and that. He puts on the speed and he's out where he needs to be. And their quarterback throws the ball. And the receiver just puts his hands like this and watches the ball sail. Bounces off his helmet. Because he's not receiving. Oh, no, that's not how they do it. My word, they battle for that ball. The defender can have his face almost in his helmet, and he's reaching for that ball. He's going to pull it in. He crashes to the turf. A couple of bodies fall on him, but he stands up holding the ball, and he's made the reception. I'm not going to let the devil cheat me out of receiving forgiveness. I'm not going to let the devil lie to me and tell me that I can't be forgiven. I'm not going to let the devil hold me back. No, I'm going to fight for that. I'm going to receive it. I'm going to battle for it. I'm going to desire it with everything I've got within me. Thank God I can receive the blessings of the Lord and know His goodness and power and wonder is there for me. But the devil lies. You don't have to be noisy. You don't have to carry on like they do. You don't have to make a spectacle of yourself. You're not making a spectacle of yourself. You're receiving the greatest thing that has ever been given to man, the greatest gift. You fathers, Jesus said, you know how to give good gifts to your children. You ask for an egg, you won't give them a serpent. You ask for bread, you won't give them a stone. Yes, for a fish, you won't give him a scorpion. You know how to give good gifts. How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Hallelujah. There's a definite experience. There's a definite connection. There's a definite power that God desires to give. And thank God we can receive it. That's why the apostle came to those groups of followers of John the Baptist and said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? We haven't heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. How then were you baptized? John's baptism. John was powerful. John was strong. John was straight. He was a voice. He was turning hearts. He was causing people to turn from disobedience to wisdom. He was getting a people prepared. And Paul would smile and say, that's right. He was preparing them to believe on Him that should come after Him. That is on Jesus Christ. When they heard that, they were baptized again in the name of Jesus. Paul laid hands on them, Brother Ensley, and they received the Holy Ghost. They weren't under the table, but Brother Ensley received the Holy Ghost under the table. Praise God. But, oh my, They received it. They received it. They began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because God was preparing them. God in His Word and His Spirit was preparing them. Because He said, I'm preparing a place for you. Now you need to be prepared. You need to get ready. You need to make sure you have everything in place. Praise God. And so we get prepared. Hallelujah. We receive forgiveness because we've repented. We have remission of sins because we were baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We were filled with the Spirit of God because we believed Him for His promise. Amen. And we hunger and we thirst for what He has for us. Would you stand with me today? Hungering and thirsting. Those are everyday occurrences. That happens to us whether we think about it or not. Whether we're anticipating a great buffet or whether we're fasting and saying, I'm going to do it without food today because I'm going to pray and I'm going to seek God. Hunger and thirst is there over and over. Sit down to a wonderful meal. You enjoy that great meal, a great time with family and friends. Go home. Go to bed. Wake up in the morning some 8-10 hours later. Your stomach lets you know, time to eat. You go to the bathroom, run the water, get a drink. Because you're thirsty. Every day, hunger and thirst. That's why Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Praise God. I want to be filled with what God wants to give me. Who am I to think, oh God, you don't need to do that. You don't need to bless me that way. You don't need to. No, just a little bit, God. That's good enough. No. I don't want to be an idiot. I want the fullness of what God has for me. Give it all to me, God. Everything you have for me, Lord. Everything. Not because I'm selfish, but because I look. To a hill on the other side of the world 2,000 years ago. He was nailed to that cross. He hung there for 6 hours. Why? Just so we could have a story? Just so we could celebrate Easter? No. He was saying, I'm paying for it. I'm buying it for you. I'm preparing it for you. And all you have to do is receive it. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Is there somehow, some way I could convince you today? It's worth it to be prepared. It's worth it to have everything ready. To let the Creator come and make you over again. Hallelujah. Because that's what He died to do. That's the price that He paid. Close your eyes for just a moment now. We need to focus on what the Spirit is saying. We need to focus on what He has available for us. Just close out everything else now. All the other plans, all the other schedules, all the other situations that clamor for your attention, and just focus on, I need to be prepared. I need to be prepared. Praise God. How many times have we not been prepared for a trip or a meeting or a project or a building or a meal or whatever, and we just made do, and it turned out okay, or it was a big flop. God doesn't want you to do that right now. He wants you to be prepared. He wants you to come and receive. He wants you to reach out for what He has for you. Great preparation requires your effort and your participation. Praise God. All right, you can open your eyes. Now, you would think great preparation for a great event, for a great place, is going to require a lot. Much effort, much expense, great energy. Now, this is what's so amazing. This is what's so incredible. Doesn't require writing a huge check. Doesn't require going on a long trip. Doesn't require a great deal of effort. It's just a surrender. As Jordan sang about it today, I give myself to you, Lord. All my mistakes, all my problems, all my ideas, Lord, I just give myself to you, and I want you to give yourself to me, and I'll receive it. I'll receive it. Oh, that's the key right there. I'll receive it. Praise God. And there's so much that God desires to give. Hallelujah. Now, in a moment, I'm going to invite you to come and pray. Why do we do that? Why do we step out from where we are and move to an area where everybody gathers and begins to call upon the Lord, pray? Why do we do that? Because it's a commitment. Because it's an expression of desire. Because it's a willingness. And then we act upon that in letting God bless us and letting God provide for us. All right. If that's what you want to be prepared, please come. You're willing to take the step of preparation, please come right now. Just for a few minutes. Just a few minutes is all God needs. And oh, what a change. Oh, what a difference. What a creation. That receiver right now. Reach out for it. Push right on through for it. Shamalala Kandekola. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nothing nonchalant about it. Nothing laid back about it. God, I love you. God, I want to serve you. God, I want to live for you. God, I want to obey you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And your Heavenly Father loves to hear that from you right now. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Lord, I receive it today. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I receive your forgiveness. Yes, Lord, I receive your goodness. Yes, Lord, I receive a healing.